It's interesting that the devotion, once again, that Scott chose certainly goes along with what I'm going to be saying this morning. You're lucky because since I started feeling worse, you don't have a full-blown sermon. You're just going to get basically a devotional. But I entitled this, Preparing in the Wilderness. The pandemic escalates. Friends and family are ill. More than 250,000 Americans have died of COVID. We shelter in place, missing family and friends. The country is divided. Hate, racism, and bigotry rear their ugly heads. The election is contested. Additional financial relief isn't forthcoming. Unemployment rises. Businesses close. Schools move to hybrid or remote. Churches close or meet online. Thanksgiving celebrations are canceled. And Christmas? In the midst of the turmoil, many of us wonder where God is. If He is in control, why is life such a mess? Is there some purpose to this chaos? As I thought about the messiness of our lives right now, Ecclesiastes 3 came to mind. Listen carefully and think about how this scripture applies right now. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 17. It sounds as if Solomon was describing our current situation. Sort of a nothing new under the sun description of 2020. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 17. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that His people will fear Him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked. For there will be a time for every activity and a time to judge every deed. Powerful words. A season for everything. A time of judgment for both the righteous and the wicked. A time to judge every deed. A time for justice. A time to mend. A time to love. A time to refrain from embracing. Perhaps we need to reconsider this season that we are currently facing. In the silence of our COVID isolation, God may be preparing us for what is to come. He may be hiding us away to equip us for the good work we are to do. We need to look for his purpose, his plan. Rather than fight against the isolation and restrictions, perhaps we should lean into this time, seeing it as a gift, as a time to shelter in place with our Savior, reconnecting with him more deeply. Elijah sheltered in place. God had revealed Ahab and Jezebel's sins to Elijah, and he pronounced God's judgment on them. There will be no dew or rain for several years unless Elijah orders it. Then God immediately tells Elijah to turn eastward and shelter in the Kereth Ravine. He drinks from the brook. The ravens bring him meat and bread. And when the brook dries up, God sends him to the widow at Zarephath. God was equipping him for what was to come. It was a time of preparation and provision. 3 years pass, 3 years, before God tells Elijah to present himself to Ahab. 3 years to prepare to take on the priest of Baal on Mount Carmel. 3 years to muster the courage to face 450 priests of Baal. 3 years to prepare for the anger of Jezebel. In his book, If God is in Control, Why Is My Life Such a Mess?, Michael Youssef says, picture Elijah at the bottom of the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. It is a lonely place. The region is quite desolate. Nothing but rocks, a few trees, and the bubbling water of a small brook. Do not underestimate the importance of these surroundings, however. God was working outwardly through them. As Elijah looked at the rocks, he learned about the rock of his salvation. When he saw the trees, he remembered the words of the psalmist that the tree planted by the water will always flourish. As he studied the bubbling brook, he discovered that out of his innermost being could flow rivers of living water. Something also happened inwardly while God was hiding Elijah. In verse 1, he is simply introduced as Elijah the Tishbite. But when God brings him out of Kereth and into Zarephath to minister to a Baal-worshipping Gentile widow, she calls him a man of God when he raises her son from the dead. It was only after Kereth that he could move from being Elijah the Tishbite to Elijah the man of God. For Elijah, it was 3 years. For Joseph, it was 13 years. Remember Joseph's dreams? He tells his brothers that they were binding sheaves of grain when Joseph's sheaf stood up and his brother's sheaves bowed down to it. Yeah, well, that vision did not set real well with his brothers. But then comes the second dream. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed down to Joseph. And so now mom and dad are a little hot under the collar. These dreams, along with Joseph's coat of many colors and the special love bestowed on him by his good old dad, land Joseph at the bottom of a pit and on a caravan into slavery. He works as a steward for Potiphar until Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape. From the bottom of a pit to the pit of a dungeon, 13 years. But God was preparing him for a season to come, to be second only to Pharaoh, saving his people from starvation. Joseph says that what his brothers meant for evil, God meant for good. Joseph and Elisha aren't the only two that God sheltered in place. Moses left the palace in Egypt for the wilderness and a herd of smelly sheep. But in that wilderness, God was preparing him to lead Israel out of slavery and into the promised land. Esther was a Jewish captive in Persia. She was sheltering in place in the king's palace. Her identity was unknown until God called her to save her people. He was preparing her for his purpose. Jesus sheltered in place in Nazareth, working as a carpenter, until his father called him to action. He spent 40 days and nights in the desert as God prepared him for what was to come. God confronts Paul on the road to Damascus. He is blinded, his sight is restored, he is baptized, and then spends 3 years in Arabia, preparation for a ministry that literally turned the world upside down. So how does any of this apply to us? Yousef tells the story of Oliver Cromwell, the Lord Proctor of the Commonwealth of England, Scotland, and Ireland during the Civil War in the mid-17th century. The treasury had run out of silver to mint coinage for the realm. Cromwell had his men travel throughout the kingdom to find silver for the treasury to use. And the only silver the men found was in the statues of the saints in the cathedrals. "What should we do?" the men asked Cromwell. He replied, "We will melt the saints and put them into circulation." Yousef continues, "In much the same manner, before God can use his man or his woman, before he can put his servants into circulation, he has to put them through a meltdown. I can tell you truthfully that many of God's saints have been sitting in the pews far too long. God cannot make you effective for his kingdom if you are satisfied to be a statue in a cathedral instead of a silver coin in circulation. God was able to use men like Elijah and women like Esther, because they were willing to step forward. They were willing to get out of their comfort zones, willing to be melted down for the Savior's sake. The process of God's inward working," Yousef continues, "is like peeling an onion. As he strips away the layers, God is working out his purposes for your life. He is putting you through a meltdown so he can put you into circulation." I will close by repeating what I said before. Perhaps we need to reconsider this season we are currently facing. No, it isn't pleasant. We are restless and we are on edge. But in the silence of our COVID isolation, God may be preparing us for what is to come. He may be putting us through a meltdown so he can put us into circulation. He may be hiding us away to equip us for the good work we are to do. We need to look for his purpose, for his plan. Rather than fight against the isolation and restrictions, perhaps we should lean into this time, seeing it as a gift, as a time to shelter in place with our Savior, reconnecting with him more deeply.
You've been listening to Jenny Strait at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.